我来念一遍 ，those that read in English, you can look at the PowerPoint. 耶稣听见约翰下了监，就退到加利利去，后又离开拿撒勒，往加百农去，就住在那里。那地方靠海，在西比伦和拿弗他利的 边界上，这就要应验先知以赛亚的话说，西布伦地、拿弗他利地，就是沿海的路，约旦河外，外邦人的加利利地。那坐在黑暗里的百姓看见大光，坐在死荫之地的人有光发现照着他们。从那时候，耶稣就传起道来说：“天国近了，你们应当悔改。”大家看得出这个是什么地方吗？
Do you guys recognize what this place is?
可能不容易啊，再注意一下有一些细节。
Might not be that easy, but pay attention to the small details.
猜得到是哪里吗？
Can you guys take a guess as to what this is?
这个是我们的旧国家图书馆。
This is our old national library.
现在就剩下两个柱子了。
I guess what's left are just two little pillars.
为的就是要建，你们看到吗？后面的那个富康宁通道，所以就被拆毁了。
So this building was demolished primarily because of you can see the back for the construction of the Fort Canning passageway.
政府当时还说这个建筑物没有什么建筑的设计价值，所以就不需要保留。
So back then the government said that this building had no architectural value and therefore we do not need to conserve the building.
在1998年的时候呢，这件事被正式的公布以后呢，公众的反应就非常的强烈。
So back in 1998, when this was first officially disclosed, the public reaction was quite intense.
当时候我还记得就是议论纷纷，每个人都想要保留这个建筑物。
Certainly there are a lot of opinions and a lot of people wanted to conserve this structure.
可是三年的协商呢，最后是无效的。
But after 3 years of consultation, it was somewhat ineffective.
在2000年的时候呢，马宝山部长就说政府一定要拆，然后在2004年的时候呢，就拆掉了，大概现在已经12年了。
So in 2000, Minister Ma Bo-tan back then said this structure had to be demolished, and 4 years later, it was, and since then it's been 12 years.
这件事呢，就唤醒了国人呢，对于保留这个历史性的建筑物的整个意识。
And this incident indeed awoke the awareness of Singaporeans about conserving historical structures.
其实新加坡整个迅速的发展还有改变，其实早已经不是一朝一夕的事了。
But indeed, the fast development of Singapore did not happen overnight.
为什么这次会有这么大的反应呢？
But why was there such a big reaction to this time?
我们有一句话叫触景生情啊。
We have a phrase that says that means a reminiscence.
就是看到这个眼前的景物的时候的触动的时候，就会有一些联想，产生各种各样的感情。
That the familiar sight or scene evokes certain emotions, past memories, and from there we have some mental associations.
且不说这个旧国家图书馆到底有什么，到底真的是有没有这个建筑的设计价值。
It's not to say whether or not the structure had any architectural value per se.
不过，我想对于许多的国人而言
，But to many Singaporeans，
可能你即刻会联想到的。
I think a lot of things that we associate with that building。
也许是父母带孩子去借书的那个感受。
Perhaps just the family love, family affection when the parents take the kids to borrow books from the library。
那就是亲情。
That's family love。
或者是你可能记得是同学们一起去读书的那个记忆。
Perhaps it's just a memory of you and your friends studying in the library.
那就是友情。
And that's friendship.
或者是可能是比较文青的男女就会去那边约会。
Perhaps it was the young couples back then who had their first dates there.
所以那你可能有你记忆中的爱情。
That's your the love in your memory.
你有去那边约会 ？No.
没有这样机会。
not the 文青派了。Okay. So,
But I think when you think back, this is indeed the value of the structure.
所以直到现在
So up till now,
每次我使用那个福康宁通道的时候
，So whenever I actually drive through the Fort Canning passageway,
所联想到的呢，反而是那冷酷无情的社会变迁。
That what comes to mind is the cold, I guess, society in terms of development and changes.
每一个地方，每一个景色
，So every place and every scene,
总有它记忆。独特的记忆还有故事。
There are certainly unique memories and stories attached to those.
马太在重写这个福音书的时候
，So when Matthew reworked the gospel,
他就很清楚的这一点很重要。
He was very clear and realized that this is a very important point.
触景生情
，reminiscence.
所以他，我们对比一下，你看他从马可到马太的这个之间的不同。
So let's take a comparison between Mark and Matthew,
你就会发现到很明显的，从马太借用这个马可的叙述，在重写这一段故事的时候。
So it's very clear when you see that Matthew reworked the way Mark narrated the story.
他就加了一段这个关于加利利的历史。
And he added this portion about the history of Galilee.
为什么呢？为什么要这样子的加了这一段关于加利利的历史呢
？So why did he do so?
因为马太是写给他自己的这个犹太同胞而写这个福音书的。
Because Matthew was writing this book for his fellow Jews.
所以马太不单单是自己，我想也是，他也是希望，就是他的同胞们呢，也能够真的是触景生情。
That Matthew was hoping that his fellow Jews would be able to reminisce as much as he did.
有人曾说，每颗心上某一个地方总有一个记忆挥不散。
And there's a saying that every place, there's always going to be a memory, unique and special to it.
在马太的叙述的整个表达里面，哎，这样点出来真的是画龙点睛。
And I think this really comes from the bottom of his heart, the way Matthew narrated the story.
一个微微的提点呢，却把神跟以色列子民那漫长的岁月呢，现在就跟耶稣的出现这两者。就紧扣在一起了。
That indeed he was able to, just with this slight suggestion, be able to intertwine the long history of the Jews with God as well as the emergence of Jesus.
而这也是马太一个很一贯的表达手法。
And this is something quite unique to Matthew in terms of his manner of presentation.
当我们来看，比方说马太第二章的时候，啊，这样子的手法就是表达的淋漓尽致。
And I think indeed when we look at Matthew chapter 2, this was done very vividly and thoroughly.
马太说耶稣降生伯利恒。
Matthew says Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
而在提到伯利恒的时候
And when he mentioned Bethlehem,
马太就引用了先知弥迦。
And he cited the prophet Micah.
他说伯利恒啊哇犹大地的伯利恒啊你在诸城中虽不是最小的可是将来就要有君王从你那里出来牧养我以色列子民。
But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
耶稣虽然是出生小伯利恒
even though Jesus was born from a little Bethlehem,
可是就是在那里却承载了整个神对大卫的后代的应许
But indeed, that was where he bore the promise that God made to David's descendants.
所以从这样一个卑微很贫寒的一个小城
So from this humble and poor beginning and little town
可是因为有神的应许却带来了尊贵和荣耀
But because of God's promise it brought forth honor and glory
过后我们就看到这个约瑟一家过后呢就落难到埃及
And we saw that after this Joseph and his family escaped into Egypt
马太就刻意引用了这个先知何西阿
And Matthew intentionally cited and referred to the prophet Hosea
神说我从埃及要召出我的儿子来
God said out of Egypt I called my son
所以想到这个埃及的时候当我们 回顾这样的一段过去的时候
So when we think about Egypt let's recap and recollect this
他说约瑟这一家落难到埃及那又有何妨呢
So what that Joseph and his family met a misfortune and ended up escaping into Egypt
神不是亲自的拯救从那里亲自的拯救了他的孩子吗
Didn't God personally rescue his sons from there?
约瑟在那里逃难可是在那个 接近耶路撒冷的那里现场呢，却引来了一场的大屠杀。
But even though Joseph's family managed to escape, around Jerusalem, actually incited a major massacre.
那里呢就提及了希律王在那里的迫害和残杀。
And it certainly talked about King Herod's persecution and carnage.
马太就引用了先知耶利米。
And Matthew referred to the prophet Jeremiah.
说在拉马跳听见号涛大哭的声音，是拉玛哭他的儿女不肯接受安慰，因为他们都不在了。
A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.
拉玛是什么地方呢？
So what exactly is this place, Ramah?
拉玛呢，就是古时候当犹大国灭国的时候，犹太人在等待要被放逐到巴比伦的时候呢，那边是那个 waiting area， 那个等待区，最后一站。
So Ramah was the last stop, the waiting stop for Jews who were being exiled into Babylon at the verge of extension of the kingdom of Judah.
可是就在那个看似是一种绝望的情景的时候
，So but even though it's a situation of hopelessness，
就好像那时希律王如何的在那边大屠杀一样。
And it's a similar situation when Herod was inciting a great carnage.
可是呢？这个马太呢就要用这样的一段故事来提醒鼓励说我们还是要期待神所带来的希望。
But Matthew wants to use this story to encourage the reader to wait upon the hope that God has provided his people.
最后约瑟回来的时候又要躲避到拿撒勒去。
And even though Joseph escaped into Nazareth upon his escape from Egypt,
马太这时呢就引用了 众先知呢，尤其是以赛亚刚才所听到的以赛亚书第五十三章那里这么说。
And Matthew referred to a lot of prophets including Isaiah in the chapter 53 that we looked at earlier.
他说这就要应验众先知所说的他将称为拿撒勒人的话。
So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets that he would be called a Nazarene.
所谓的拿撒勒人跟以赛亚书五十三章那种受藐视受苦的仆人呢有一点相同的意思。
I guess the word Nazarene as well as the servant mentioned in Isaiah chapter 53, the way they were wronged and scoffed at, there are certain similarities between the two.
马太就是要提醒我们说哪个神的仆人没有受委屈的呢？
And Matthew wants to remind us which of God's servants was not wronged.
哪个神的仆人不都是大多数都是被在都经历过被藐视的时候吗？
The majority of God's servants have been scoffed at and scorned at.
所以拿撒勒人耶稣这样的一个称号就成为了耶稣曾经在那里长大那种卧薪尝胆的那种记号。
And therefore the term Nazarene refers to the fact that Jesus grew up in Nazareth as well as became a symbol of Jesus enduring hardship.
如此一来，这样的走一回，马太就引导了他的整个犹太的同胞们。
And therefore, recollecting this history, Matthew managed to take his fellow Jews with him.
跟着耶稣的故事，在每一个地方就这样子的回忆当初，回忆过去。
And therefore, be able to recap at every of Jesus' stop his stories and his life.
而这样子的一段一段的回忆呢，也就引导了他们，也对于。耶稣将要发生以后的事情带来一种期盼一种厚望。
And therefore with that he was able to allow his readers his fellow Jews to place high hopes on the sequence of events in Jesus' life from that on.
伯利恒是大卫王的家乡。
Bethlehem was the hometown of King David.
耶稣就承载了降生伯利恒的应许。
And therefore Jesus boreThe promise of being born in Bethlehem.
啊，你说啊，埃及呀，埃及。
You said Egypt, Egypt.
埃及就是我们子民的起点。
And Egypt was a starting point of our people.
所以耶稣就这样子承载了走出埃及的呼唤。
And therefore Jesus bore this calling of Exodus out of Egypt.
拉玛，拉玛。
Rama, Rama.
拉玛是我们的悲痛。
Rama was our pain.
耶稣就承载了这种绝处逢生的期盼。
And Jesus therefore bore the hope of recovering from situations that are seemingly impossible.
拿撒勒，拿撒勒。
Nazareth, Nazareth.
拿撒勒就是一个笑柄。
Nazareth was indeed a laughing stock.
可是耶稣就同样的承载了和众先知一样那种忍辱负重的决心。
But Jesus indeed bore this determination of enduring humiliation just as the prophets did.
在今天的经文里面
And in today's passage,
故事就来到了加百农。
The story came to Capernaum.
就是加利利沿海一带的一个小渔村而已。
And it was a small fishing village near Galilee.
可是耶稣在这里呢，选择开始他的事工。
But Jesus picked this place to actually start his work.
你就想象一下，如果你要，比方说你要开店。
Perhaps you could just put yourself in the situation. You want to open a store.
我不得，但是开店可能你要开连锁店呢、啊，所以你第一间店是你的旗舰店。
So you want to perhaps open a chain of stores, and you are picking a location for a flagship store.
可是你的旗舰店却不开在乌节路。
But you do not open your flagship store at Orchard.
没有去开在滨海湾。
Maybe not even Marina Bay Sands.
你的旗舰店却开在乌明岛。
You decide to put that in Pulau Ubin.
大概是这样子。
That's the analogy.
耶稣在那里的信息是什么？
What's the message of Jesus there?
他说：“天国近了，你们应当悔改。”
It says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
所以耶稣是要建立国家，他是要在这，他要做的事情是要建国。
Jesus' mission was to build a nation.
可是耶稣却选择在加利利海边的一个小渔村那里开始建国。
But Jesus decided to start his mission from a small fishing village near Galilee.
就在这样一个关键的时刻。
And at this critical point,
马太要引导他的同胞再一次的促进深情。
And Matthew wants to lead his fellow Jews to reminisce together.
他又引用了这个以赛亚书第九章。
And he referred to the book of Isaiah chapter 9.
这样的引用其实当然绝不是偶然的。
And certainly this citing referral was not by chance.
甚至我们说他这样子的用法是这个意义非凡。
I think we can say that this was of a great significance.
因为加利利这样一个地方也有他自己的故事。
Because this place Galilee obviously has its own story.
先知在以赛亚第九章这里呢，他说：“但那受过痛苦的就不再看见幽暗。从前神使西布伦和这个拿弗他利地被藐视，可是，在末后的时候，却要使这沿海之地。”约旦河外邦人的加利利地得着荣耀，在黑暗行走的百姓看见大光，住在死荫之地的有光照着他们。
Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned.
在这里有两个关键词。
And there are two critical terms here.
有一个所谓的从前被藐视。
And the first is in the past was being humbled.
可是过后呢，又有一个末后要得荣耀。
But also more importantly, in the future, he'll be honored.
所以这段故事是什么呢？
So what exactly is this story about?
因为我们不是古时候的以色列子民。
Certainly we're not the Jews of the olden days.
所以也许不能像他们一样就立刻看到就能够促进深情。
And therefore, we'll not be able to reminisce off of this this story.
所以再给我一点时间，让我讲一个小故事。
So allow me this a little time to just tell you the story.
加利利其实就是当年的北国以色列的其中一个重要的地区。
So Galilee was an important part of northern Israel back then.
加利利这个绿色的这一个呢，就是我们这个北国以色列。
So the green patch on the map, it's northern Israel.
黄色的那个部分就是亚兰国。
The yellow portion is the kingdom of Aram.
紫色的就是南国犹大。
So the purple is a kingdom of Judah.
当时候呢，这个北国以色列绿色的这个就要打算跟这个黄色的部分，也就是亚兰王利逊呢，他们打算合谋。来攻打这个紫色的，就是南国犹大。
So back then, the King Pekah of Israel and the King Rezan of Aram were planning to combine forces to attack the purple region, the kingdom of Judah.
先知以赛亚当时候呢，就来劝勉这个北国的这个犹大，南国的这个犹大王亚哈斯。
So the prophet Israel came to advise King Ahaz of Judah, the purple region.
以赛亚就说，你要依靠耶和华。
Isaiah says you have to rely on God.
不要怕这两个家伙。
Please do not be afraid of these two powers.
很可惜呢，这个犹大王亚哈斯呢，没有听他的劝。
Unfortunately, King Ahaz of Judah did not listen to him.
反则去选择去投靠这个强大的亚述国。
But indeed, he decided to ally with the superpower back then, Assyria.
当然，过后这个两个国家，北国的以色列和亚兰，的确是被这个亚述国所消灭了。
But indeed, after the fact, both Israel as well as Aram were destroyed by Assyria.
这就是我们所看到的，就应验了从前神要使这两个地被藐视。
And so this was referred to in the passage in the past, he humbled of these two lands.
这个就是从前被藐视的这个意思，这两个整个地方呢要被消灭，这个特别是绿色的这个地方，就是加利利的地方要被消灭。
And this was what was referred in the passage, particularly the green region where Galilee was.
可是亚述是豺狼来的。
But Assyria itself was actually a jackal.
他们呢他吞并了这个以色列跟亚兰以后呢，过后就对这个犹大地本身就虎视眈眈了。
So even though it was destroyed and absorbed both Aram and Israel, it decided to eye the kingdom of Judah.
到时候呢，这时这个犹大国，这个亚哈斯呢已经死了。
But by then the king Ahaz of Judah had passed on.
所以这时以赛亚呢就要对这个新的王，也就是西西家王呢劝勉。
Then Isaiah had to give guidance and advice to the new king Hezekiah.
以赛亚又是同样的一句话说，你不要怕，你不要怕，你要依靠神。
Isaiah had the same saying, do not fear, do not fear, you have to rely on God.
这就是下面的一句说，末后 这沿海之地，约翰河以外加利利的地呢，要得荣耀。
And this is the second part of the saying that the indeed after in the future, he will honor the Galilee of the nations.
所以之前这个地是要 被消灭，要被藐视。
So in beforehand, the land has to be destroyed, has to be scoffed at.
可是如果你依靠神的话呢，末后这个地呢将得荣耀。
But if you rely on God, thereafter in the future, this place will receive honor.
还好呢，那时候西西家呢，这个王呢就听劝，依靠耶和华。
Fortunately, this king, King Hezekiah, did indeed heed Isaiah's advice and relied on God.
所以靠着耶和华，他保住了自己，保住了这个犹大国。
Indeed, relying on God, he managed to keep his kingdom safe.
可是西西家本身还是有许多软弱的时候。
But Hezekiah himself certainly had his own moments of weakness.
所以虽然是驱逐了这个亚述，可是他后来呢自己却引来了整个巴比伦。
But even though he managed to oust Assyria, he himself led the kingdom to ally with Babylon later.
然后最后呢，整个西西家的王朝跟这个应许里面所说要这个整个地要得荣耀呢，这两者我们知道还是相差非常远的。
Therefore, we know that after the fact that even though Hezekiah heeded God's promise, the reality of what he was able to achieve and the ideal described in the prophecy was were miles apart.
其实，在今天的这段经文里面，以赛亚书第九章呢，以赛亚。其实有表示了神你心里面真正理想的王应该是怎么样的一个王。
Indeed, in this passage today, Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah had conveyed what God had in mind in terms of what he think is an ideal king.
说这有一孩因我们而生，有一子赐给我们，政权必担在他的肩头上。
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders.
他的名将称为奇妙、测试、全能的神、永在的父、和平的君。
And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
他的政权 和平安必加增无穷，他必在大卫的宝座上治理他的国，以公义、公平使国坚立稳固，直到永远。
Of greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over the kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever.
万军之耶和华的热心必成就这件事。
And therefore, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
在加利利这一个地方，
In this place, Galilee,
马太很刻意地引用了以赛亚书第九章来促进申请。
I think Matthew intentionally referred to Isaiah chapter 9 to try to get his reader to reminisce.
可以说是要对他的犹太同胞的一种肺腑之言。
And so I think you can say that it's words that came from the bottom of Matthew's heart for his fellow Jews.
就在加利利这样的一个地方，耶稣说了很关键，他说天国近了。
I think at this place, Galilee, Jesus said something that's very critical. The kingdom of heaven has come near.
在一个很关键的地方，当耶稣的真光照耀所有的黑暗的时候，他说：“你们应当悔改。”
And at this critical place, Jesus' true light, his light shone through his darkness and said, "Repent."
也就在这样的一个地方，加利利这样的一个地方，发生过这样的历史的地方。神给他的子民再一次的一个抉择点。
I think this place, with a lot of historical behind it, Galilee, God gave his people a critical decision to make.
所以你到底是要怎样的一个王？
So what kind of king do you want exactly?
你到底要一个怎么样的王？
What kind of king do you want exactly?
你要一个运用权谋的王吗？
Do you want a king who is strategic?
还记得亚哈斯，还记得西西家吗？
Or the ones that we have had in the past, the predecessors.
还是你要一个真正信靠神的王？
Or you want a king who indeed truly relies on God.
这地几时才真正的得着这荣耀呢？
This land must be glorified.
Or this land must therefore be glorified.
马太就要借用这样的一个地方，让他们来促进申请。
Matthew wants to his readers to actually reminisce off of this location.
因为他们只要回忆当年的时候呢，亚哈斯王啦、西西家王啊，他们就是前车之鉴。
I think we did, just by looking at just reminiscing here based on the actions of the predecessors, there are mistakes that could be learned.
加利利是可以再一次的得荣耀的。
Galilee indeed could be honored.
可是重点是你要认清谁才是真正信靠神的王。
But you have to recognize indeed who is the real king.
弟兄姐妹，你们呢？
Brothers and sisters, how about you?
你们要耶稣做你们的王吗？
Do you want Jesus to be your king?
天国近了，你们应当悔改。
Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near.
作为总结，我希望我们能够再一次的来起应这一段。
Let's come together to respond to with this passage.
我会念一句，你们可以以下一句来回应。
Pastor Xiao Hui will start, and then we can follow with the next verse.
因有一婴孩为我们而生，有一子赐给我们，政权必担在他的肩头上。
And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
下一个，他的政权平安。必加增无穷，他必在大卫的宝座上治理他的国，以公平公义使国坚立稳固，从今时直到永远。让我们来祷告。我们在天上的父，我们感谢你，因为有一婴孩为我们而生，有一子赐给了我们。当我们回顾往事的时候，再一次的燃起了我们对你的期盼。我们必顺服你，成为你的子民，成为你王的仆人，再一次的引导我们。这样子祈求祷告，奉耶稣基督的名，阿门。
To get out the food that was left over, so nothing would be wasted. It didn't take long before everyone could see something strange was happening. The baskets began to fill. How could there be more food than when they started? Anyone who comes to me will never go hungry. Although Jesus had lived a complete life of obedience to God, yet he was condemned by humans and nailed to the cross to die. But God resurrected Jesus. In restoring Jesus' life, God had shown the final victory of those who had obeyed his words and had suffered for his name's sake. Through Jesus, we saw how in complete obedience comes life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is the gospel. And this is what he wanted his disciples to share when they met the resurrected Jesus in Galilee.
Let us stand up. We will respond with a song.
Thank you. 暗中等候，我们会转正迷寻说，求主化作你圣洁之名，使人看见之光，等主真光照彻我心，驱散忧难，耶稣真光进来照耀属你教会，
姐妹请坐，我们现在来奉献。红色的奉献袋是我们的经常奉献。